Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Coach Unplugged. I am so happy that you decided to join us. If you like this podcast, you should go over and listen to a bunch of the other ones in our network with like the 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast or High School Hoops or Coaching Youth Hoops. All of those are, I think, interesting. And we would love if you left a 5-star review. You can leave those 1-star reviews at home. But before we jump into the topic today, I'd like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish. Mention Coach Unplugged and you'll get $450 off. You'll get great customer service. It is. I can tell you from someone that's still coaching, it has helped my team immensely. I can't tell you number of shots that we have taken on our Dr. Dish machines. And then also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. You know, 25 years ago when I took over a program that no one wanted, that had 5 winning seasons in 35 years, I was the only applicant. No one wanted it. I would have killed for a resource like teachhoops.com. It took me years to turn it into a national powerhouse. And I have put all that secret sauce inside of teachhoops.com. So come over and check it out. 14-day free trial. It will give you the roadmap. It will give you me. It will give you one-on-one calls and office hours and a community of like-minded coaches. I think you'll love it. Let's head off to the podcast.
All right, let's go on to the next one.
So this is, just sort of as we introduce our playing style to our guys, and this is sort of ripped directly from Coach McKillop and sort of, some foundational things he does. But, for us, we just have these 4 keys. We call them nicknamed them like the core 4. And we want our guys to be able to do these 4 things at a really high level. So I can kind of go through them broadly, and then I included a slide on just what we mean by C, but
okay.
At the end of the day, like, we just feel like if you're a player and you can see, and when we say see, we just mean literally being able to like read the floor, like be able to look at something during the game and understand like what it is. So that would be the first one. The second one is talk, and that's pretty self-explanatory, but it's talk in our language. So using our terminology to communicate with one another in a very crisp and sharp way. To use an example or sort of elaborate, we're not big on like the, what I would call just like the loud and repeated communication. For us, it's really, we emphasize like real meaningful communication. So if it's a screen, what direction, if we have a coverage, what color or whatever we're using to describe it, that's what we're talking about. Just concise, clear. And that's something that we practice. And in addition to that, we expand that to mean, communication. So, if we're teammates and there's something off the floor, talking is really important. Like if we don't talk and communicate, we don't work out issues. We don't understand each other. So as a program, like these first two, the seeing and being alert and aware of things, and then the talking are just super important to us. And Steve, I found over the years, the best players, they don't always look the best physically or anything like that, but often the best players are masters at these two things just because of their intelligence, their commitment to it. So those are two big areas I would almost, some people might even call those soft skills, I guess, right? They're not, they're not literal things. So, that's where we start. And then to us, like playing with balance is such an important skill. And, just the whole concept of, passing on balance, shooting with good balance, just basically doing everything on the court with the appropriate footwork and sort of positioning is important to us. And then the final one is the game is scoring, right? So finishing is huge. And, and I think it's a different thing. Like for your 6'10 kid, finishing is different than your 5'9 point guard. And so, but we emphasize just sort of finishing things. And then again, we use these analogies to carry over. We want to finish the drill, finish the segment, finish the practice. finish the week. Like, we want to be finishers. We want to follow through and finish on things. So this is sort of our, again, I'd call
it. Those 4 points could be a life points. Like, well, and that could be marriage 101, see, talk, balance, and finish.
Like, well, I had my first AD as head coach was an amazing leader, and he had one of my favorite expressions, and I know I'm supposed to wait on my quote, but he said, yeah, his whole thing was, we teach what we need to learn. And I think that's a very apt statement. These 4 categories, you're right, they apply to life, they apply to me probably more than our players. So,
right. And the funny part is, like, and we'll dive into the practice and how you kind of do those kind of things later, but your players are busy. First, they're not taking like underwater basket weaving. Like, time is precious to them. So to be able to do those things effectively and to move is awesome. Yeah, let's just talk. We'll talk about C. We can do the one slide. That's perfect. We can talk about C.
Yeah. So I just put some examples here. You know, it's a little wordy, so apologies there, but just some examples of what we mean. So one concept that we try to ingrain in our guys is like taking that snapshot before your catch. So just understanding as you play at higher and higher levels, you know, being able to like look at the floor prior to your catch and sort of anticipate. I use a baseball analogy. I used to love playing baseball. I know kids don't play baseball anymore, right, at least in the East Coast. But, it's almost the analogy, like when you're on second base and the pitcher's getting ready to wind up, like, you know, you're thinking ahead. You know, all right, if they hit it on the ground, I'm going to run. If they hit it in the air, I'm going to go halfway, you know, up, there's only one out, I'm going to go back to the bag. So it's sort of, you know, before I catch the ball, I'm reading the floor. I know where my teammates are. I'm reading the defense. So just kind of that snapshot, we call it catch and see, literally. Other things, practicing the floor. So the way we talk about this in practice is, you know, we're in a drill. Like, this is one of my favorites, Steve. You'll probably laugh at this. Like, you get a drill going and a kid runs through the middle of the drill to go back to the end of the line, like right through the action. And you stop and you just go, wait a minute. Like, why did you do that? And I stole this from Coach McKillop, but one of my favorite things is, like, he used to get on guys like, oh, you must have grown up not in a city because you don't know how to look around and see traffic.
Right. Like, you know, you definitely didn't grow up in New York City. You'll get run over. Yeah.
So, like, there's something to be said when you grow up in a city, like your head's on a swivel, you're looking around. So we actually talk a lot about that. And what you find is, you know, some kids haven't practiced, like, literally opening their eyes and looking around. So I think it's a way to kind of teach your kids to slow down, see what's developing in front of you. So that's there. You know, I put another one, observe line rotations, like how's the drill happening? It's just, I think this is important stuff, even though it might seem sort of, peripheral. And
yeah, but and when you talk about observe line rotations, I can tell the leaders that, like, and I've had a handful of these, that we'll be doing something and there'll be two people in one line, five in the other. And you get those special kids that will all of a sudden, they'll grab another kid and they'll move to the other line because they see that it's not going to work. And that's what you're talking about. They see that it's like, whoa, this is going to tick off coach. We got to get this all straightened out. But I love that. I love observe line rotations is great. I love that.
So yeah, you have the kind of the logistics there. And then a couple other examples, just like, you know, our playing style, like when you catch, your eyes go to the rim. You know, am I open? Where's my defender? Where are my teammates? Again, I really believe this is a skill that you practice and that you need to talk about. And, and I think, you know, for us, as you said, we don't have a lot of time with these guys. So it's really, really important, no matter what we do strategically, that we have just a baseline foundation of like how we're going to pass, catch, and play. So that we're all on the same page. So
I love the eyes on the rim. This is on my bucket list at some point to get this done, but terminology is so important for the young coaches that are listening. Like, we refer to it as peak. Like, you're supposed to peak at the basket at all times. Whenever you catch the ball, you peak. And because that's where everyone's cutting, that's where everyone's moving, that's where the space is. So when you catch it, you better peak at the rim, peak at the basket.
I like that term. That's great.
Yeah. I think that's what, especially for some of the younger, you got to come up with your terms. I love the eyes on the rim because then I'll explain to them why I'm telling them that, because that's where everything's happening, guys. That's where all the space is moving. That's where the cutter's going to be. That's where you want it. And then I take the selfish standpoint. It's like, don't you want to score? You should look at the rim first.
Well, it's crazy, Steve. I couldn't agree more with the eyes on the rim and what you call peak. I mean, I'm watching high-level Division I games and watching guys travel and not do that. And so it's actually interesting, like, with our college guys, I mean, we're talking about eyes on the rim on the catch, and then we talk about it at the end of their move. You know, I think a lot of guys don't put their eyes on the target when they shoot a shot, especially inside the paint. Their head stays down, and they're, you know, yeah, we know you know where the rim is, but you should probably put your eyes on it. And again, that seems like such a simple concept.
No, I'm watching the Duke-Michigan State game last night. Was it last night? Yeah, it was last night. And literally there's guys catching it, and they're not even looking at the rim. They're just passing. It's like, oh, my God, it's like a fifth grade. And I understand it's early. These guys are some of the best basketball players in collegiate level. But, again, if they would have peaked, someone would have had a dunk, you know, kind of thing. And trust me, Coach Izzo and Coach K will take care of that problem.
Yep.
Not at all concerned about it, but and it's we're in the weird world of COVID. But it's just weird to see it at that level, you know, sometimes.
Yeah. And it just shows you, you know, that even college kids aren't immune to it. You know, high school coaches probably have the hardest job, but then even the college coaches like myself, like we're teaching this stuff and we're trying to get better and better at it. So, you know, you have the eyes on the rim on the catch. And then I think the next progression, logical progression is I think your best players, at least at our level, they also see the help and they see the rotations and they see what's coming and they can anticipate it. And that's when you really, I think, take your game to the next level is being able to read that. And, you know, if I'm being honest, I can remember my playing days. It probably took till my junior year in college to really, you know, excel at that, I would say.
So really good. The really good ones just kind of like, oh, my goodness. How can you, like, bottle that? Because, like, I had one that's a senior this year. I feel really bad because he's probably not going to have a season. But he can tell when you turn your head for a millisecond. And as soon as you do, he's gone. He's like, doop. And it's like there's just those, like – yeah, they read it. They don't have the ball, and they know not. They only have the ball a very small. It's the stats teacher me. You only have the ball in your hands a very small part of the game. So if you're good at the other part, you know, you become invaluable in a lot of respects.
Yeah. So yeah. So hopefully that, you know, that gives the coaches a little bit more on like what we're trying to do. And I agree with you, Steve. I don't think this is something that I would say if we're going to break this down in percentages, like I don't think you can teach 100% of this. In other words, I couldn't agree with you more. A lot of this is natural. But I do think it is something that is worthy of pursuing, you know, for us as coaches, because I believe you can teach guys to make reads, of course, and to see things. And I just think that's the, you know, that was my experience as a college player. I played for a great coach who won 600 games at the Division III level. So it was a lot.
I tell my guys, and this is, I think this is Corelli, the smart take from the strong, man. Like, trust me, if you can neutralize some deficiencies in your game too, if you can do some of these things. Let's go to the last slide, and then, because I got lots of questions for you, Coach, so I want to make sure
that we have time for that. I was going to, you know, when we were, you know, chatting pre-show, Steve, this was sort of going to be my coaching thought to dive into later, but I think this is just such a tough area to coach, and everywhere I talk to coaches, I don't know how you feel about this, but I always feel like in my conversations, you know, defense, you can have your philosophy. There's a certain element to defense that I think all coaches understand, and you teach it. I just think, you know, we're just talking about trying to teach people to see, right? That's pretty hard. I think offensive decision-making might be the hardest thing for all of us to really grapple with, right? I mean, there's so many good ideas out there. You know, there's this new shot quality index that, you know, I've become familiar with that, you know, so there's a million ways to try to do it. So what we've tried to do is make it really simple for our guys in terms of, you know, when we make decisions in our offense, like here's essentially what we're talking about. And so just to be quick, you know, you're either in the action or you're not. In other words, I either have the ball or I'm screening on the ball or I'm involved like directly in the action or I'm not. So understanding which is which, I think, is important. And then
so say that again. So you're either say that again.
So I'll use an example to try to explain.
Okay.
In the action would be, let's just say we have our five players on the floor and I'm holding the ball on the left wing and my teammate's coming over to set a ball screen for me.
Okay.
Okay. So if we're kind of using this model that's on the screen, like the player, me with the ball, let's say you're setting the screen for me as my teammate, we're in the action.
Okay.
Like we're in the ball screen, we're in the action.
Yeah.
So that should trigger a whole series of, you know, reads for us because we're in the action.
Right.
The guys that are out of the action, again, this is sort of the way we're trying to structure it is, I've got to know I'm not in the ball screen. So I'm out of the action. And what we like, you know, we want to give a lot of space there. And we want to be ready to come into the action, but we're out of the action. So does that make sense?
So I'm going to describe what Coach has here too. He has inside the, in a small circle inside, he says, see, balance, decide. And then it's in action, out of action, with ball, without ball. It's great. I'll put this one in the show notes. This is awesome. So the game is, so if I'm getting this right, in action means it's like the guy with the ball and the guy sitting on the screen. Usually there's only two or three guys ever in the action.
Correct.
Right? It's the triangle offense whole premise. Okay. Yeah. All right. I just wanted to make sure I had that right for the listeners. Okay.
Yep. And then, you know, then those other two markers are I either have the ball or I don't. So you're just sort of, again, this is sort of a structure as very early on as we're trying to teach, like that we utilize to say, look, this is how simple it actually is. And, you know, the hope here is that this helps players sort of in many ways simplify the approach. So in other words, I always hated it as a player, you know, and, you know, when you'd run a set and you'd go to the wrong place and then coach loses his mind and it's like, okay, you know, and it's not that we don't run sets, but I want our players to play with, you know, kind of without fear, with confidence, off instinct. And so kind of giving this basic parameters of like, this is what it is, I think kind of helps them maybe narrow their focus in a way. So that's right. The purpose behind it. And look, we run a lot of sets and we have different alignments. And I think, but this is a way to sort of pull all of that together.
I love that. All right. So let me dive into some of my questions.
I'm going to take this off so we can.
You're going to stop here. There you go. Perfect. Okay. So let me just dive into your league first. What do you see a lot of? Do you see a lot of man, a lot of zone? What do you see defensively?
See a lot of good coaches and a lot of guys that should be playing low major one basketball.
Right.
That's the truth. I mean, we struggled last year in year one, you know, admittedly we were 0-10. I mean, so here's the unique thing about the league. You know, you play everybody once. So it is very, very unique in all of college basketball. It's almost like a football conference because you play everybody one time. There's no round.
So you can play nine conference games?
10. There's 11 of them.
There's 11. Okay.
Yeah. So that is a really unique thing about the NESCAC because you play everybody once. So each game takes on a life of its own. And when I say intense, they're intense. You know you only have one shot at this particular team. And so it's, I found that you get everybody's best shot.
We'll pick Middlebury just because we can. So Middlebury would only come to Conn College twice in like Drew's career.
Yes, correct.
That's crazy. I guess it's a travel thing. I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, it's very unique. And it certainly, it makes it interesting because you're, preparing really hard for that opponent one time. And like, think about it. A lot of your conference games at the high school level, you play somebody and you go, okay, well, I know what we're going to do next time. Well,
right.
There is no next time, you know,
right.
For us.
And how many make the tournament? 4 of the 11?
8 of the 11, which is great.
Okay.
But in that in and of itself is very difficult. I can tell you the 9th place team last year, I'm not even going to name them, but they were so good. I thought they were really, really
good. There's got to be tiebreakers up to Kazoo when you're playing everybody once.
Tiebreakers. And then, like I said, you get a team. Like, I honestly think this team that came in 9th, you know, with all due respect to all the conferences, probably could have won a first-round NCAA tournament game, if not
right.
two.
Right.
So that's how strong the league is from top to bottom.
Wow, that's crazy. If you could only do 3 things at practice, what would you do?
Oh, great question. Wow. That is awesome. Okay. I can probably give you the first two pretty easily. Actually, I give them all to you, but only 3 things. So you're saying 3 areas of focus?
Just 3 things. It's open-ended.
Okay. All right. I would say the first thing we would do is first of all, I'll work backwards. We're going to play 5-on-5. So we're going to play 5-on-5 with offense and defense because in my mind, there's no other way to actually get better. I mean, there are obviously, but you know, we're not going to sacrifice that. The second point I make is, and I just think this is probably where we are as a program, we're going to work on some element of transition defense. I just think I've watched so many games. This is brutal for me because we're not playing right now. And I've probably watched about 30 Division I games in the last 2 days on Synergy, but I think transition defense is so important, so hard to teach. I actually just saw Mike Dunlap quote on it earlier today. Like, I think transition defense, so difficult to get that right. So for where we are at Con, probably transition defense would be two. And then we would do some shooting, realistic shooting. So those would be the three.
Okay.
5-on-5, transition D, and shooting. So there's my answer.
Okay. So summarize your coaching philosophy for me. Like in so I don't know if you're old enough. Cliff Notes, are you a Spark Notes or a Cliff Notes guy?
I know Cliff's Notes.
Yeah. Okay. So you say that to kids now and they don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
You know, it's Spark Notes now. So, okay. So give me a condensed version of your coaching philosophy. So a recruit's listening, another coach is listening. What would be a condensed version for that?
Yeah, I would. Do you like acronyms or?
I do. I love acronyms.
Do you know KISS?
Yes. Yes.
I feel like growing up, that was uttered to me quite a bit. So okay. That's always stuck in the back of my head. Keep it simple, stupid. But no, I think, you know, to try to answer seriously, that is a serious answer. But I think overall, I mean, the general philosophy is, you know, we want to be competitors that execute. Like, that's the bottom line. I want to build a group, you know, including the coaches, that we're competitors. We're ready to compete on any stage, anytime, anywhere. But we have a high level execution. So that would be okay. The best way to describe.
I'm going to give you kudos because you've already answered a couple questions I was going to ask about recruiting and stuff. So, and players. So that was good. Is there one coaching moment that we could dive into, like a success, a failure, that another coach could learn from that you've experienced?
Yeah, I one that immediately jumps to mind and really taught me a lot was, I'm not going to use any specifics, but we had a player who was late to practice. And this was early on as a head coach, and this player was late to practice. And I jumped him. You know, I jumped him and we, you know, kind of, as the player came in, you know, kind of, you know, made a spectacle of it, had some sarcasm laced in there, but, you know, kind of, you know, as many coaches, you know, not happy with someone not being punctual. I was really, you know, aggressive about calling it out. And so the practice goes on and, you know, and I can tell there's something wrong with the player and he's, you know, his head's down. He's not there. So long story short, we get to the end of practice. I pull this gentleman aside and I just, you know, hey, what's up? You know, like, what's going on? And he kind of shared with me, like, you know, he actually had a family emergency. It was something very serious. He wasn't able to get, and this is why, you know, again, I think this is a good story to share. He wasn't able to get communication to any of his teammates. And after talking to him, I understood why. He actually got urgently pulled away from the group to handle something that was family related and serious. And so, you know, the reason I go to this one is that really, like, I was really unnerved by that. I felt terrible, of course, but also it taught me a really important lesson to take a deep breath. You know, as I said in the very beginning of the podcast, shut up and listen more than you do. And so I think that's probably the one I would point to right away is not jumping to conclusions, you know, giving our student athletes a chance to, you know, express themselves, you know, because oftentimes you learn a lot by just listening and also not jumping to conclusions and just jumping guys and sort of, you know, making assumptions that, you know, like in this case were wrong. And I you feel horrible afterwards.
Right. I mean, and we've been lucky. We've been on a lot of national trips with my teams and that we had something similar come up and there was someone rude to one of my players. It wasn't like, And I pulled the player aside. I said, let me explain. You don't know their story. Like, yeah. You don't, they might just be a rude person. I said, they might be, but they might also like be worried about, like, you know, so-and-so or something happened to their friend. So you don't know their story. So just give them a break at that point. And that's what I always try to tell them is like, you don't necessarily know. Like, and part of that's youth. I think part of that is youth too. I think, with the practice thing to give you a break. I'm just telling you, part of that's youth. Yeah. We've all done that in their younger days. Like,
well, I think the amazing thing about coaching and becoming a head coach, and like I said, this is year 7 for me. So I feel like I'm still pretty early on in it, is the amount you realize you don't know with each year that goes by, and the amount, you know, you realize that you still need to learn. That's the most staggering thing, and the exciting thing in many ways for me. You know, it's sort of it gives you energy. But
I wish I knew as much as I did in my 20s.
Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you love it and you want to support us, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. 14-day free trial as we talk. Subscribe, like, jump up and down. Do whatever you got to do. Those Apple podcasts mean a lot to us. I read every one of them. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.